Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Jain Resource Recycling Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Jain Resource Recycling Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Kamlesh Jain, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Parikh, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Hemant Jain, Executive Director and CFO, Mr. Sanchit Jain, Executive Director. Without any more time, I would hand it over to Mr. Kamlesh Jain for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. A very good evening to everyone. Welcome to Jain Resource Recycling Limited Quarter 4 and FY26 earnings conference call. I'm Kamlesh Jain, Chairman and Managing Director of the company. Joining me today are Mr. Mayank Parikh, Joint MD, Mr. Sanchit Jain, ED and Head Operations, Mr. Hemant Jain, ED and CFO, along with other senior members of our team and our investor relations advisors, SGA. Thank you for taking the time to join us and for your continued interest in Jain Resource Recycling. FY26 has been a landmark year for the company as we delivered our highest ever annual performance while executing multiple strategic growth initiatives across our recycling and value-added metal ecosystem. Despite geopolitical uncertainties, volatile commodity markets, and temporary global logistic disruption, we remain focused on disciplined execution, operational efficiency, and long-term value creation. For FY26, we delivered strong year-on-year growth across key financial parameters. Revenue grown by 48%, EBITDA increased by 53%, and EBITDA margin improved to 5.9%. Profit after tax grew by 56%, with PAT margin expanding to 3.6%. This performance was supported by healthy volume growth and disciplined hedging practices, improved operating leverage, and better realization across our key business segments. Our strategy continues to be built around two clear pillars: volume growth and profitability growth. While some other projects are focused on expanding scale and strengthening sourcing capabilities, others are aimed at improving product mix, enhancing value addition, and delivering better margins over the long term. Copper remains our largest strategic focus area. During the year, we made significant progress on our forward integration roadmap through Jain Green Technologies. Copper anode operations have already commenced, while the copper cathode, wire rod, and bus bar projects are progressing steadily towards phase commissioning. These projects are strategically important as they move us higher up in the value chain into value-added products such as which are expected to improve realizations, reduce and strengthen our customer stickiness and enhance overall profitability. In addition, our Ahmedabad joint venture project with CNY Groups marks an important step towards strengthening our copper sourcing and recycling ecosystem. This facility will significantly improve our scrap processing capabilities, support long-term volume growth in the copper business. In the lead recycling, our focus remains on maximizing value extraction from battery scrap stream and strengthening raw material security. Following the successful scaling of tin recovery operation, we are now progressing towards antimony extraction capabilities, which we believe can become another important profitability driver over the medium term through high value recovery from existing recycling stream. Internationally, Our strategic investment in Kuwait continues to progress well and remain an important milestone in strengthening our presence in the Middle East recycling ecosystem. This initiative will support supply chain integration, improve sourcing access, and further diversify our global raw material network. From a sourcing perspective, we continue to maintain one of the strongest global procurement networks in the industry. With sourcing capabilities across more than 120 countries, and domestic sourcing is also improving steadily, supported by India's evolving recycling ecosystem, increasing formalization, and EPR-led policy initiatives. What differentiates grain resource recycling is not only scale, but also integrated multi-metal recycling ecosystem. Our capabilities across copper, lead, aluminum, plastic, tin, and our specialty metals. Recovery creates strong operational synergies, better by product utilization and highly efficient zero-waste eco-recycling platform. Combined with disciplined hedging mechanism, a global sourcing network, and strong execution capabilities, this position us uniquely within non-ferrous recycling industry. Going forward, we remain confident about long-term opportunity in the recycling sector. Globally, the increasing focus on sustainability, circular economic practices, decarbonization, and supply side constraint in the mined metals continue to strengthen the structural outlook for recycling business. India in particular is emerging as high competitive global recycling hub, supported by favorable economics, strong processing capabilities, and growth domestic demand for non-ferrous metal. Multiple new verticals expected to commence operation over the coming quarters. We believe the company is entering its next phase of growth, strong integration, improved product mix, enhanced sourcing capabilities, and increasing value addition across the business. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Nayan Parekh, who will take you through the key business updates, project execution progress, and outlook. Mr. Nayan, over to you.
Thank you, Kamlesh ji, and good evening, everyone. Let me take you through the key business updates with project execution and outlook. While our core recycling business continues to deliver volume growth supported by strong global sourcing capabilities, we are now entering the next phase of value creation through forward integration into higher margin copper products. Our copper value-added product project under the Gen-Green Technologies Unit 3 has now entered the commissioning phase and represents a major milestone in our journey towards becoming a fully integrated non-ferrous recycling and value-added metals platform. I'm pleased to share that copper anode production has already commenced in March 2026 with an initial installed capacity of 800 metric tons per month. The second furnace with an additional 800 metric tons per month capacity is currently in the advanced stage of installation and is expected to be commissioned during quarter 1, financial year 27, taking the total anode capacity to 1,600 metric tons per month. On the copper cathode side, civil construction has fully completed and the machinery erection activities are progressing well. 13 imported machinery deliveries witnessed temporary delay due to the geopolitical situation relating to Iran shipping corridor. However, the project execution remains with project execution and outflow. While our core recycling business continues to deliver volume growth supported by strong global sourcing capabilities, we are now entering the next phase of value creation through forward integration into higher margin copper products. Our copper value-added products project under Gen-Green Technologies Unit 3 has now entered the commissioning phase and represents a major milestone in our journey towards becoming a fully integrated non-ferrous recycling and value-added metals platform. I am pleased to share that copper anode production has already commenced in March 2026 with an initial installed capacity of 800 metric tons per month. The second furnace with an additional capacity of 800 metric tons per month is currently in advanced stage of installation
and is expected to be commissioned during quarter one financial year 27, taking the total anode capacity to 1,600 metric ton per month. On the copper cathode side, civil construction has completed and machinery erection activities are progressing well. Certain imported machinery deliveries witnessed temporary delays due to the geopolitical situation relating to the Iran shipping corridor. However, the project execution remains on track and we expect phase 1 commissioning by quarter 2 financial year 27 and phase 2 commissioning by quarter 3 financial year 27 respectively. Once phase 2 is completed, cathode capacity will scale up to 1,500 metric ton per month. The copper wire rod production, copper wire rod project is also progressing well. Civil construction is nearing completion and machinery erection is scheduled to begin in June 2026. We expect commissioning by August 2026 with an installed capacity of 600 metric ton per month. Similarly, our copper busbar and profile segment is moving ahead as planned. Civil work is substantially complete. Machinery erection is expected to commence in July 2026 and commissioning is targeted for September 2026 with a planned capacity of 1,500 metric ton per month. These projects are strategically important because they materially improve our product mix, deepen customer integration, reduce earning cyclicality, and structurally enhance EBITDA per ton over the medium term. As we had highlighted earlier, these are profitability-driven expansions and are expected to support margin expansion for the overall business. Moving to our Ahmedabad joint venture under Jan CNY Circular Solution Private Limited, execution activities have accelerated meaningfully. The factory premises have been finalized on lease and project implementation is now underway in a ramp-up model. Processing of electric motor scrap and cable scrap is expected to commence from September 2026 onwards. Installation of the plant, machinery and equipment is targeted for completion by December 2026. The project remains strategically significant for us as it strengthens our copper sourcing ecosystem and adds scale to our copper recycling operations. Once fully ramped up, the facility will significantly enhance our processing capabilities for high-quality copper scrap streams. On the international front, the Kuwait battery recycling venture continues to progress operationally. Civil construction at the site has been completed and the ordered machinery is ready at the supplier's facility. However, due to disruption in shipping routes arising from Iran-related geopolitical situation, dispatches have been temporarily delayed. The supply remains ready for shipment with a 30-day notice once shipping routes are normalized. Despite this delay, we remain confident about the long-term strategic importance of this project for strengthening raw material security in our lead recycling business. In our sustainability-focused initiatives, we have also taken a strategic decision to establish a dedicated plastic recycling unit. Currently, both our copper and lead recycling facilities have in-house plastic recycling capacity. However, with rising processing volumes and the need for better operational efficiencies, we are now creating a specialized standalone plastic recycling plant. The company has finalized around 6 acres of land for proposed shift of plastic recycling operations from the existing copper and lead recycling plants. This dedicated plastic recycling unit is expected to streamline operations and help decongest both the copper and lead recycling facilities. The new unit is targeted to become operational by quarter 3 financial year 2027 and will entail an estimated capex of around 15 crore Indian rupees, which will help us further strengthen our zero waste and circular economy model. With this, I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Hemant Jain, who will take you through detailed financial performance for quarter 4 and financial year 26 along with volume, margin and working capital trends. Over to you, Hemant.
Thank you, Mayank sir, and good evening, everyone. I'll now take you through the financial performance for the financial year ended on 31st March 2026. So, for the full year FY26, the company has delivered strong growth across all key financial parameters. Consolidated revenue from operations stood at approximately 9,543 crores compared to around 6,429 crores in FY25, representing a year-on-year growth of approximately 48%. Volume growth during this year stood at approximately 26.5%, while the remaining growth was driven by value realization. EBITDA for FY26 came in at approximately 559 crores compared to 365 crores in the corresponding period last year, translating into a growth of approximately 53%. The EBITDA margins also improved to approximately 5.9% in FY26 as compared to 5.7% in FY25, supported by better leverage, operating leverage, improved product mix, and stable operational execution. The profit after tax for FY26 stood at approximately 347 crores compared to 223 crores in the FY25, representing a year-on-year growth of around 56%. Then the PAT margins improved to approximately 3.6% in FY26 compared to 3.5% in the previous year. Now some highlights for the Q4 FY26 consolidated financial performance. The consolidated revenue from the operation stood at approximately 3,105 crores compared to around 1,760 crores in Q4 of FY25, representing a year-on-year growth for approximately 76%. The EBITDA margin stood at around 3.5%. During Q4 FY26, EBITDA per ton witnessed temporary compression, primarily due to two external factors. Firstly, there was a decline in sale realization formula as a percentage of LME copper prices, which were largely an industry-wide phenomena observed globally during the period of sharp increase in the price of the copper. As LME prices surged, customers across markets resisted higher absolute pricing levels, leading to a temporary pressure on realization formula across the value chain. Secondly, the geopolitical disruptions arising from the Iran conflict impacted the global shipping routes and increasing logistics and fuel-related costs during March 26. This resulted in elevated liner and port discharge charges, along with higher fuel costs linked to global energy prices, thereby increasing our processing costs during the quarter. However, we would like to highlight that these are largely temporary and external in nature. Entering Q1 FY27, shipping disruptions have eased considerably. Logistics costs have started normalizing and realization formulas are also witnessing gradual recalibration with stabilizing LME prices. Accordingly, we remain confident that the Q4 margin compression was a transient and not structural in nature. Coming to the business mix, from a segment contribution perspective, copper and copper alloy products have contributed approximately 55% of the total revenue, while lead and lead alloy ingots contributed 40%. And the aluminum and aluminum related products have contributed approximately 5% of the revenue during FY26. With respect to geographical revenue mix, 62% of the revenue was generated from exports, while 38% came from the domestic market during FY26. Coming to the return ratios, as at March 2026, the return on equity stood at approximately 30.4%. while return on capital employed stood at approximately 25.3%. This healthy return ratios reflect our focus on capital efficiency, disciplined execution while scaling operations. We continue to remain focused on maintaining working capital efficiency despite the ongoing scale-up in operations. Given the nature of recycling business, working capital requirements are structurally linked to raw material sourcing cycles, scrap inventory holding, export receivable timelines, and as per our historical trend, working capital remain well under control, and we continue to closely monitor inventory, receivables, creditor cycles to ensure comfortable liquidity while supporting future growth. As of March 2026, inventory days stood at approximately 62 days, debtor days stood at around 18 days, and the creditor days stood at approximately 14 days. Accordingly, the overall working capital cycle stood at around 66 days. Coming to IPO proceeds utilization during the year, for the primary issue of around 500 crores, approximately 375 crores was utilized towards repayment of the debts, while the balance amount was embarked for general corporate purpose, including the IPO expenses. Out of this, approximately 16.4 crores have already been utilized for IPO-related expenses. To conclude, the company remains focused on ensuring project execution stays within planned timelines and budgets while maintaining healthy leverage metrics. Thank you. Over to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Naman Parmar with Nivesha Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, just wanted your whole understanding on how is the whole realization usually work for you. Like you specifically mentioned about the changes in the LME has typically impacted your realization. Your scrap sourcing realization would have been increased. That's why there is an impact on the EBITDA percent. But if you can explain the process, how it is currently going on, and in future there will be no such variation, because the price of the copper and aluminum are quietly very volatile in the current situation, and in future also there can be a very big movement. So how you are seeing this specifically?
So, Naman, the point is that here we always have helping mechanism back-to-back work. And the copper, there is not been a long-term contract. It's always contracts are like 30 to 50 days delivery. So when we don't have long-term contracts, the formula has in the previous years, it generally varies from 0.25% to 0.5%. Maximum on a 3-month average, it is varied only by 0.25%. Formula don't move up and move down in the previous year. But this year, copper was extraordinarily valued. And there was a bullish trend in copper, and the price went up to skyrocket from 10,000 to 14,000. Because of that, a 40% increase in copper, the formula has impacted very big way. So in quarter three, we had tailwind where we have got benefited from the elevated buying and driven by exceptional demand from China. This resulted in formula led margin compressions. And because of this, there was but in the quarter four, there was a structural mismatch because the whatever the sales formula has gone up in quarter three has gone down a little bit. And because of that, there was a declining in the margin. So if you average both the quarters, it is getting normal. But because of the quarter three and quarter four, there's a difference in formula pricing, and because of tailwind in quarter three, the quarter four margin was got, and the problem. There was also impact of geopolitical situation, which is elevated the cost of oil, gas, and chemical price, compounded by war risk charges by shipping line, and Iran conflict has led further fuel to the cost pressure, which is not budgeted, but it has passed on in the next quarter. So there was a sudden shock from the geopolitical situation. And there is also sometimes there was generally when the LME goes up, the sale formula drop, and that was and then we don't hedge the formula because of the like lead we have 1 year or 6 months long term contract, the copper contract started, but we have changed the system now, and we explained to our buyers for the future. We'll be working on a long-term hedging formula mechanism where the price of the formula, which is varies up and down, won't affect our sale price. This is the correction we have done for the future, and we are sure that this volatility in the market, when the copper, like in every 4-5 years time, one time the copper cycle boom, and because of that boom cycle, it is the price goes skyrocketing, and it impacts the sale formula. So when after the correction, the formula gets dropped also. But in the forward guidance, I'm sure that this can be maintained and it will constant and steady margin from the quarter next year. This has been one time impact, and I'm sure it will not get repeat because of the tailwind goes up or down. Next question, please.
Okay, understood. So now your hedging purpose will be very much sorted for the long-term contracts, right? That's the right understanding.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, understood. Secondly, on the volume side also, so if we compare on from Q3 to Q4, there has been a more or less decline only in the all division, copper, lead and aluminum. So it was due to the Middle East war only, or it was
Because of the geopolitical war, there is a supply of the raw material has been constrained, and a lot of containers got stuck in Dubai port. So we have a lot of material stuck in UAE port. This material is not, we are not able to receive the material, and that is why the there was a problem in the raw material side, so the volume has been little dropped, which we have diverted now from the other ports, but the old material line still stuck in the Middle East port, and this will, once the Hormuz Strait will open, then only those materials will come, but the future materials are getting diverted from other ports.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on the plastic recycling side, like you have mentioned, around 15 crore of CapEx. So it will be possibly virgin plastics and all that you will be recycling, or it's a byproduct for you?
No, it's always a byproduct recycling. We never do virgin product recycling. It's always a virgin byproduct recycling what we are going to get from our factories. And that will get recycled in our dedicated facility for the plastic, which we are doing inside the plant earlier, but now we have bought and built up the sheds and we dedicated plastic recycling inside.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Next question, please.
Sir Rahul Bangaria, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you for giving me a chance to ask this question, sir. Just to follow up on the previous question itself. Now, given that there has been a slight change or a slight pressure from the customers to kind of accept a higher rate, and you see that normalizing, what is it that we should take as a normal EBITDA per ton in the copper segment? Because we have now moved from a 55,000 number to a 42, and now this quarter we are at 14,000. So what is it that a normal number should look like?
So for forward guidance, I'm sure about during the exceptional tailwind of quarter 3 of I-26, and a conference of one time had been in quarter 4 FY26, the management expects normalized beta to stabilize at approximately 32,000 to 30,000 on a steady state basis. The quarter 4 FY26 result is not considered a representative of the business underlying earning capacity. So, muta muti, I feel it will be 32,000 rupees per ton for the forward earnings.
So, okay, 32,000 rupees on a fall. And you are saying Q3 ka jo 42 tha, that also had an element of one-time tailwind. So, one-time tailwind in Q3 26, and then there are one-time hit in Q4. So, you expect the average to be 32,000 is what you are saying, right?
Yes. And the value added formula will be different. This is only for the existing business. Whatever the value addition, the facility is going to come. That EBITDA will be separate from this EBITDA.
Sure, sir. And
for existing business.
Okay. And in general, what should we expect on the volume side? Let's say lead this year was totally about 1.85 lakh tons and copper was about 54,000 tons. What should we expect there in terms of volume growth for 27 and 28? Let's say 27.
So we have already given the guidance earlier, and so, Mayank, can you just reply this question?
Hello?
Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible. Yes, sir.
So, could you just repeat your query, please?
What is the volume growth that we are expecting in lead and copper, sir, FY27 from the 54,000 ton and 1.85 lakh ton respectively?
Lead and copper, as we see the trends coming in, and if we don't let the international disturbances overpower whatever the trends, regular growth in two digits is always expected.
Right, sir. Okay, thank you for answering your question, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is, how much percentage of raw material we are getting from the Strait of Hormuz, number one? If the raw material is stuck there, how we are going to, do we have a hedging policy? Are we going to hedge that material again if it is going to be delayed? And how it is impact on our overall hedging cost and all?
The first question is that how much metal they're getting from Hormuz. They're not getting any metal from Hormuz. So the metal is getting transshipment. So what happened that when we buy the metals from the US and South American countries and some of the European countries, the transshipment of the major lines like MSC and Maersk, they take at UAE Jebel Ali port, which generally they do because of the refueling of the vessel and because of the sometimes they have to transshipment the containers also. Most of them getting refueled now. Now these containers which are lying in the vessel is not able to unload, and some containers are unloaded in the UAE port is not able to clear. So as you know, Hormuz situation will be geopolitical, and when it gets cleared, you'll be getting the material. And there can be some war charges also for this holding of the material, but we'll negotiate with the line and we'll get it reduced, but there are some metals stuck there. And regarding this metal called hedge, we have no risk on the price movement of this material. And all this metal is completely hedged, and there is no risk for the price movement. And I feel that we are in constant touch with the line, and lines are doing the best to, negotiate with the geopolitical situation when it gets improved. We'll get our material.
If it is going to be delayed, we have to hedge again, right?
No. Hedging is for 3 months and it gets rolled over automatically. If you don't want to score off, it gets automatically roll over. Like how we do MCX.
How much raw material is stuck there of the total?
The value and the figures I can separately email to you. Total, I don't have right in mind.
Percentage of the total raw material?
No, percentage I can't, but you don't know, that great percentage of raw material. That is, some quantity got stuck, but I can give you all details by separate email, how much containers and what is the value of the material.
And for copper, you are saying for the 42 rupees EBITDA per kg and 32 rupees, so 32 rupees normal EBITDA per kg we are assuming for copper or higher than that?
Yeah, if you see the average of the year, then it is coming to this extent only. Because what happens is, The formula get volatile when the LME goes up and down. This year was exceptionally high for the copper for volatility because 40% copper went up by in 4-5 months, and that has impacted the formula. Generally, formula does not move by 0.25% to 0.3%. Generally, it doesn't move much up and down, and it's been in that range. But this year, because of the price movement of the LME, the impact of the formula also. And I don't, this is like 5 years once this kind of things come, where the copper moved by 40% up and down. So during the COVID time, the copper has gone down by 30-40%, and again up by 30-40%. That has been one of the volatile years of 4-6 years back when the COVID time was there. So, but now we have changed the strategy also, and it won't impact. And what was the second question you asked?
So the normalization, normal EBITDA per kg for copper, assuming normal case scenario,
we
are talking about 0.5.
Now we are giving guidance of around 32,000 to 33,000 per ton on yearly average. Some quarter can show even 36, 37. Some quarter can show even 30 to 32. But we'll try to control the gap, and we're going to be volatile. But on average of beta, we assume that it will be 30,000 to 36,000. Apart from the value-added product, which is separately coming from for cathodes and bi-rods and other products.
About formula you are can you disclose that what is the formula you are talking about? Their volatility is more than 0.5% and it is going to, it is impacting EBITDA. So can you talk on that?
This is a little complicated for you. Someone, if I can, you can call me or separate email, I can tell you how it works. It's complicated. It's the business dynamics, which you need a lot of time to understand this. If I spend a lot of time here, why don't we discuss it separately? But it is like, on a mota mota, I can tell you, like you buy on 80% of copper LME cables, and you sell around 98 to 99% of the LME. So a gap of, we get a gap of around 19%. In that gap, sometimes the gap becomes 16%, sometimes the gap has become 23%. The gross gap get sometimes change, which we have to control it now. That's a mota mota for you. If you want details, we will let's speak separately.
So what you said, the LME prices and what is the gap?
I said the buying price and the selling price, the difference gap, sometimes goes up and down because of the formula change. So anything like the value addition products on that copper content. So let's say 1% formula change will impact 13 rupees beta per kg. So mota mota you understand, 1% of the formula change will impact 13 rupees of beta.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Singh with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to delve a bit deeper or just get a clarification on the volume growth. Mine sir said, I think, double-digit volume growth. In the past, I think we used to talk about 20 to 25% kind of a volume growth. So when you say double-digit, can we assume it's higher than 20% or between 10 to 20%?
So lag will be in the range of 10 to 15%, but copper, because the recycling is increasing and the application is increasing and availability of scrap is increasing, therefore copper could be even higher.
Understood. And what kind of economics can we expect from the copper value addition or copper downstream project? What kind of EBITDA margin addition or what kind of EBITDA per ton incrementally can we assume because of the copper downstream project?
Copper downstream project has potential to further increase the EBITDA margin from 2 to 4%. The copper value-added products range from starting from anode to cathode to wire rod to the profiles. Now, when we come to the profiles, they are engineering products, which are high, although the development of business might be slightly slow, but those add good margins. So, overall, 2 to 4%.
Understood. And would it be possible?
I mean, on the copper that we produce here.
Okay. And is it possible to quantify the impact of higher shipping, power and fuel costs in EBITDA per ton for this quarter, let's say for copper, versus the sales formula change? So these two buckets, if we put the drop in EBITDA per ton, how much would it be from higher energy prices and shipping the suffering, and how much would it be from the sales formula change? That's a very ballpark percentage number also would be okay.
Hemant, would you take up this question?
Yes. So, with respect to the war situation, EBITDA per ton got impacted for around 6,000 rupees per ton. And with respect to the higher LME and drop in formula, it was nearing approx 18,000 to 18,500 rupees per ton. So these two impacts were the large impacts, which is which got EBITDA per ton for the copper coming down to this level.
Okay, and have we started to see a recovery or a fall in the 6,000 rupees per ton number during the war in 1Q?
Yes, that's already there in the my speech. Now the shipping line disruptions have eased considerably. So this number has not become zero, but it has considerably come down, and you will see that impact in the Q1 of FY27.
So I'll add it here. For future shipments, we don't have any problem. The shipments are coming now by passing the Middle East port, and all the shipments, there is no future stuck. Whatever we stuck in the past is the problem. But now, zero problem. All the countries are coming by passing the Middle East port.
Okay. And just one last question. Is there any option or are there any recyclers in Middle East to whom we can sell the stuck material to, or it's just not possible at all?
So it's not possible because these containers are in the vessel. It is not got it unloaded. The vessels are parked in the sea, high seas. So this vessel has not been able to unload and not able to move and not able to bust also. So it's not possible.
Moreover, Middle East does not have enough recycling capacities to. Now this will move because this is a global problem. I mean, this is not a problem just for us, for the shipping line, for the vessel owners, for the government, for the port authorities, for everybody, this is a problem. So they will move.
Understood. Thank you, all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alisha Mahala with Trust Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. So what is the current capacity utilization in Legend Copper?
Ma'am, can you take this?
Current capacity utilization on copper, what did you ask?
What is the current capacity utilization in copper and in lead?
Your voice is echoing. And capacity, what did you say? Capacity?
What is the capacity utilization in copper and in lead?
Copper and lead.
Yes.
Lead has practically peaked, and right now we are working on so lead we have Hemant would be having exact number, but it is somewhere around 185,000 tons, somewhere around, and it is almost around that, maybe more than 95%. Is it correct, Hemant? 95%, something like that.
Yes. If you want, I'll give you the numbers itself. So the copper, presently we are utilizing around 65% of the total installed capacity. And lead, we are almost close to 97 to 100, and aluminum is around 35% of the installed capacity. These are the numbers for the capacity utilization for the full financial year.
Yeah, this is helpful. Copper, can we go beyond 65%?
Copper, of course, we can go beyond 65%. We will go beyond 65% because we have additional capacities, and the copper volumes will be growing. So these capacities will be utilized over next 2-3 years.
Okay. And what is the total capex we're looking at doing next year? Because we spoke about the cathode anode plant, and are we expanding capacity in lead? So what is the total capex we're looking at doing in 2027?
So Hemant, you have the figure. Can you take it up?
Yes. So we have already given your investors presentation. So the copper cathode first phase is already over. And coming to antimony project, it will be to the tune of around 20 crores. For the plastic recycling plant, which we are putting a setup, will be around 15. and the Ahmedabad project is estimated to be a number of around 30 crores. And then the Kuwait one with another 30 crores. So this all put together plus the phase 2 of the copper value-added project will be around 115 to 120 crores.
Okay. So about 250 crores is what we'll be doing next year.
Yes.
Understood. And you've been mentioning on the call that you're expecting that Q1 EBITDA per ton in copper to improve, but freight rates are still high and copper prices are also going higher only. So are we confident that the number will be better sequentially, or will we see some pressure before it gets better?
You mean the EBITDA?
Yeah, the EBITDA for carbon copper.
Yeah, you mean because the quarter 4 EBITDA is subdued owing to the international factor. So you want to know whether it is going to go up?
Yeah, because those factors are continuing as on April and May also. Freight rates are higher and the copper prices are, have also not softened. So Will the pressure not continue
in
Q1 also?
So it is not the way you think. Copper EBITDA is getting settled because, as I told you earlier, there was a one quarter three, there was a huge tailwind because the people in China were expecting that the LME will go up. So they keep on buying with the higher formula. Once their LME reached to level and their appetite also got over, they dropped the formula. So because of one-time buying push from China, the formula has gone up. In stable market, this does not move up and down much. But the now the LME is settled down, so the formula also got settled down. In one of the quarters, this will come like a peak movement of the LME. It's like an example of COVID time, and after 5 years, this super cycle, where this formula got impacted. This is one in the case where happened in once in 5 years. So this quarter was this quarter three was like this, and quarter two was somewhat quarter two and quarter three middle. When the LME move started, this formula got impacted.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Ajmera from IEIG India. Please go ahead. Deepak, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
So, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask that formula piece. What is that? How does that work? How does it impact us? Who determines the same?
This has been already explained to me by earlier question to where when I explained Mukhil Asmusaman how the formula works. I gave an example also how the formula works, how it goes up and down. And I also explained that how the management will do in the future. And if you have more questions, definitely we can do after the call because it's getting repeated on the same question. But for the information, the formula, what you asked is who decides this. This is the market determined and not by buyer and seller. What are the market determined buying formula and selling formula? It works on that. So in the... Like example, I can give you one, like but we buy the raw material in one quarter because this copper cycle is 4 to 5 month cycle. So when you buy the material in one quarter, the shipper ship the material after 45 days. You take another 45 to 60 days to receive the material and 30 days for processing, and then ship to China another 30 days. So it takes around 5 to 6 months to rotate the formula. So one quarter of formula can impact other quarter. In two quarter average, the value addition gets settled down. So copper cycle is long compared to lead, which is a short cycle of 3 months. And the formula got impacted only once in the blue moon, which is like this time it happened when the copper LMEs move aggressively in 3 months to 40%. Otherwise, the formula is always stable. It does not move the market as more than 0.25%. Formulas are not decided by buyer and seller, driven by market only. It's based on demand, supply, and LME of the material, And this is not like gain. If you see, for example, any oil refining company, like example, it's called gross refining margin, and the Reliance industry example, they're gain. We also, the it gets impacted because of the gross refining margin, it goes up, down, it goes down. So basically that. So any oil companies also get same thing. The commodity, this is common, it moves up and down.
Secondly, our 3-4 new projects are getting live into this financial year. How should we expect the ramp up?
Your voice is not clear. Can you just
please use your handset?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is our 3-4 projects are getting live this year. How should we expect the ramp up?
Yeah, so as Mayank has already explained in his speech that about the all the project update, where the copper release project, and then we have the Kuwait, and then Ahmedabad, and the, it got delayed by 2-3 months, might be because of the, West Asia crisis. And otherwise, all on streamline, all on time, and we hope to complete in safe manner in this current year. Somebody, convinced that whatever the impact was delayed, it's over now. Now, if we get over in this year, we'll be getting this.
I add here, so you are asking about the ramp up. So the thing is, the anode furnaces will start within this quarter. And one has started and the other will start. So then the cathode starts, then bus bar starts, and then finally the profiles start. But then as far as this project is concerned, even if we make anode and cell, and even if we make cathode and cell, we would be creating additional volumes. So what I want to tell you is that we expect from the next quarter, the volumes, additional volumes will come in, whether we sell anode or we sell cathode. So in the ramp up will be quite quick.
Okay, and we are coming up with anti-money project, and we are coming up with new one anti-money project. What is that, and what should we expect from that?
Antimony is a critical metal present in the lead, which we use in the batteries, lead acid batteries. And if you are able to separate antimony from the lead, then the free antimony has better value realization. So this project is all about separating antimony from the lead present in the lead acid battery.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Deepak, I would request to please come back in the queue for further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to limit your questions to one per participant. The next question comes from the line of Akhilesh Kumar from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the copper front. So, after all of this value addition, how much of the EBITDA per kg, incremental EBITDA per kg we estimate? Like in a normal scenario, we have given the guidance of 32 rupees per kg. So, once all of these projects are commissioned, how much value addition do we see that to happen in per kg terms?
So it is potential. So all these, because it is a series of products starting from anode and then cathode and byrod and finally bus bar. So depending upon to what stage we are reaching and which particular product we are actually able to sell more in the market, it will be between an additional per kg at the present price rate. I mean, at the present prices of copper would be between 25 and 45 rupees per kg.
So, you are saying 32 plus 25. So, somewhere around 56, 57 rupees per kg will be able to do EBITDA in EBITDA term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or more conservatively, we can say 20 to 45 rupees per kg. Yeah.
20 to 45. Okay. Okay, so 45k rupees per kg is the upper limit. What we can do.
Yeah.
Okay. And my second question is on the again volume growth front. So our lead guidance has been given at 10 to 15%. In copper, how much incremental volume do we see for FY27 and then for FY28?
So on the growth, I had given my comment on this, I mean, volumes depend upon many things, but copper growth will be good double-digit figure. It has potential to go beyond 15%.
Okay, beyond 15%. Lastly, sir, on this
project, Akhilesh, I request you to please come back in the queue for further questions. The next question comes from the line of Chirag Kasiwala with New Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, just wanted to understand regarding your operating cash flow. So, if you look at, you know, this quarter, this year it has gone to negative 600 crores. So, this looks to be mostly, you know, affected by a high increase in receivables and inventories. So, going forward, what is the path for the operating cash flow? Can it become again positive? How will the receivables be adjusted and inventories as well?
Hemant?
Yeah. So, Raj, if you see that within this last 3-4 months, we have been discussing about the increase in the copper prices and the volume which has grown. You can see the overall growth of around 26% in the volume. We didn't avail any of the fresh bank borrowings within last 3-4 months. So all this requirement with respect to the working capital for stock and other things has increased because of the increase in the prices and the volume. So whatever the internal accruals what we have earned during this period has been again deployed back for this current assets and the liabilities. Now, coming to your second question with respect to when it will become a positive, yes, in a longer term, we expect that we have already reduced the stock from comparing from Q3 to Q4, we have reduced the stock content. And which will be our further policy to reduce the stock so that the working capital cycle, which is around presently 66 days, which should come down further below 60. So once that is achieved, hopefully we can see some positive working capital coming positive into the CFS from the Q2 onwards.
So my worry is more towards the receivables. So it looks like you are able to sell, but you are not able to generate cash out of it.
So in receivables, the major change in this time cash flow is because of the NAFRA requirement by the institute and the company act. So whatever the receivables what we have discounted with the banks or with any of the financial institutions, they have asked us to show this separately. Previously, it was like a net off figure which was present in the financial. So that is basically an accounting system which NAFRA, as per the requirements of NAFRA, we need to show that presently separately. Otherwise, the cash flows are healthy and you can see the volume also has increased. Because of that, the number of days receivable, you can see that 15 to 18 days, it is well managed in the Q3 and Q4. So that is the only issue where you are seeing that the receivable part is increasing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditi with iWealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just wanted to ask about the cost structure. Like this quarter, sequentially, the costs have come down a lot. What could be the reason for this thing?
I can take this, but you have to repeat your question because you are not good audible.
Hello. Now you can hear me, sir?
Yeah, what was your question?
My question was that the other costs which we had this quarter sequentially have come down a lot. So what would be the reason for this?
The other cost came down a lot in this better Hemant, you pick up other cost, you mean in the cost in the head other cost, the cost has come down.
Yes, the other manufacturing cost, yes. It was 52 crores last year, same March 25, and that came down to 23.88. And even if we take the December 25 quarter, it was 70 crores. So wanted to know, like, why has this come down?
Yes,
ma'am. Yeah. You are referring from the other cost, which schedule? Can you just...
The PM other expenses.
Yeah. Okay. It is presently at 238 crores for quarter ended on... Sorry, 23 crores for the quarter ended on March 26th. Okay, you mean this is last year, so 70.
Yeah, in the December quarter it was 70, and in the March 25 quarter it was 52 crores. So wanted to know why was there such a steep decline in it?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll just open the sheet.
If you want to have a look at the figure and then respond, maybe we take up other question and then you respond to him.
Hemant, you can respond later or you want to do now?
Yeah. So you can take up. So basically, in this, there was another change which we have made into this other expense was maintaining this fair value of hedge. So this wasn't positive M2M. And because of that, the other expenses come down during this financial year. We can give a breakup if Aditi requires. We can help her with a separate email with the breakup of this other expenses.
Okay, sir. I'll mail you regarding this. No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now and the conference call over to Kamlesh Sher for closing comments.
Thank you for the time, and I thank everyone to join this call.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you so much.